Hello, listeners, and welcome to the new episode of the Raw Founder Podcast. This is a space where we talk about the many misconceptions and unrealistic advice that business owners and startup founders are often given. My purpose here is to help you to achieve your business goals while at the same time prioritizing your mental health and wellness. I'm your host, Shadi, a multi-passionate serial entrepreneur who thrives in an environment where I get to constantly learn and grow. I am so thrilled and honored to have you here listening, and I really hope to serve you in the best way possible. Let's get raw. So I think it was back in February of this year when Ricky and I had a really engaging conversation that really began with a connection on LinkedIn. So I think it all started out with somehow, some way I came across Ricky's profile, I reached out, connected, and then we set up a time to chat to really get to know each other. I call this, you know, modern day networking. And the goal of our connection and chatting was really to explore potential synergies and opportunities for mutual support. I have to say, as our discussion started to unfold, it was just so natural and so incredible how much we had in common and how much aligned we were when it came to talking about anything, everything, mindset and well-being. I could have probably had a chat with Ricky for hours on end, and the time that we had scheduled literally flew by. And during our chat, Ricky introduced me to a concept I've never heard before, which was rewiring the brain for a solution-oriented mindset through micro-visualization. And I was just like, what? I need to know more. As we continue to talk, the conversation really delve into, I need the world to hear this, and I need you, Ricky, to share this with the world, and here we are. And so before we get started, before we even go into this discussion, I really want to take a time for you all to get to know Ricky, learn a little about him and his background. And honestly, I don't think anyone can do this better than Ricky himself. And also it kind of helps when he has this beautiful British accent that you can listen to him all day. So Ricky, the mic is off to you. Please introduce yourself to our listeners, and so honored to have you here today.
Thanks, Shadi. Thank you so much. Yes, so my name is Ricky. I hold a PhD in clinical neuroscience. So I was an ex-researcher in motor neuron disease and dementia. And if you want to be even more specific, I'm a molecular neuroscientist by training. So what this means is in the single neuron, the machinery which makes all the magic happen, I was looking into that and seeing what the interactions were in the disease state and how to correct things and or understand what the normal even is. So I stepped out of academia due to a lot of life changing, mental health and well-being severely deteriorating, was in a really bad place, exceptionally suicidal and very unfulfilled with life. So currently what I do is I'm the founder and CEO of Point Science Analytics. And so we advise ultra high net worth family offices and venture capitalists in the space of biotechnology and deep tech. And in particular with due diligence, deal flow, LP relations, you name it, anything highly technical and on the relationship build side within the world of science is what we kind of do. So yeah, your due diligence stems from within the field of neuroscience because of my background and expertise, but also in artificial intelligence. So more of the advanced artificial neural networks and heavy cycles of machine learning and really looking into what this means, because the AI of today is based on the neuroscience of the 50s and 60s. So you could say I have quite a good foundational understanding of the structure of the brain, but more in particular, the molecular side of things. So how neurons interact and how the cargo and machinery moves in between different neurons and in within singular neurons as well. So I hope that helps as a brief intro.
It helps greatly. Thank you so much, Ricky, for that. And I really think the listeners today need to prepare themselves for this incredible insight, that's really, really going to not just capture their attention, but also help them with whatever challenge it is that they're facing. So really awesome having you here, Ricky. To just get started, for those of us that don't have a lot of knowledge within this space, I was wondering if you could share and explain in a grade five term the concept of rewiring the brain for a solution focus rather than a problem focus through microvisualization. What does that even mean?
So this is something I formulated from a lot of listening, podcasts, reading, and obviously my background and understanding. And so what I'm looking to do is think better and in the right way for things to go forwards, for the pin to move forwards. And it was just a case of rewiring, literally just means taking, I guess, the old wiring out and putting in some cleaner wires. And then for a solution focused, I realized everything in the world was centered around our problems and what we are facing, what obstacles are there. And it was always focused on this. Now, constantly dwelling on that actually just made me feel quite shit. And so I go, well, what if I just focus on how to overcome these by focusing on the solutions? And that really changed things for me personally, which was to understand the solutions out there, and then focus on those and apply those to my various problems or anything that maybe I may be faced with. So yeah, that was the rewiring for the solution side. And then the micro visualization was just like we always get told dream big or have a vision. Well, if someone's vision is to go out to space and be an astronaut as like a kid, well, how do you get there though? What are the smaller steps? And so the micro visualizations were quite literally on a really minute, small scale, anything and everything that I could do, which would compound. And it was these compound effects, which over the course of 3, 6 months, a year, 2 years, I would see great benefits in.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
And so, through all of this, can you give me some other examples of what that micro visualization looks like, sounds like, and feels like?
Yeah, so the smallest micro visualizations, or any of the micro visualizations, actually, a good example is, let's say I was facing a problem with writing on LinkedIn as content. And to begin with, instead of forcing my hand and go, let me just open up LinkedIn, open up the little box to say, what are your thoughts here, and start writing stuff down and then delete it multiple times, which is what I faced if you're not an individual who schedules content. I go, let me just write down keywords that come to mind. And so I type in AI and semiconductor, neuroscience, Crunchbase News, there's a couple of websites like biotech, deep tech, LPs, GPs, and link them together. And then what would happen is the next phase would occur. So as my brain is thinking on this smaller scale, I'll then start to put the words into some form of structure. And I go, okay, which topics do I like? And then move from there. Each one of these stages is like a micro example of a micro visualization, but I've actually executed. So we've gone to the execution phase of this. Next thing you know it, I've written my LinkedIn post and people are commenting, engaging, enjoying, and liking it. The same goes for wanting to build a very large company. For example, I'm building a deep tech company with my co-founder. The vision is astronomical, is huge. The industry is now $1 trillion industry, let alone $1 billion. But getting there is just step one. Like, okay, I'm a biologist and I'm going into the field of computing and semiconductors. Okay, let me find a physicist. That was it. So I see the individual I'm wanting, that I need, and then go out and execute. Okay, that's that done. Then we move on, then we move on again, rather than let me fundraise 10 million USD and get going. Like, no, like, absolutely not.
Love it. So One clarification, as you're describing and giving example of how the whole microvisualization works and giving the example of how this would relate to, let's say, a LinkedIn post, question for you, are you doing this visualization in your mind or are you putting pen to paper? How is this being done?
So it's a mixture of actually in my mind, pen to paper, like quite literally on the fo in the form of a journal, and sometimes just speaking aloud when I'm on my own. And it depends on the mood and the situation and how I'm feeling. Like if I'm super overwhelmed, I realize journaling is the greatest thing in the world to do. And then I'll read some of it back. I'll then think about it and then move from there. A lot of the time on the smaller scale, it occurs just in my mind. Like I see it. Like I love sitting out in the garden. Now it's springtime here in the UK. So trees are becoming greener and everything's just looking beautiful. The blossoms coming out. And I love to sit outside, look and stare at the greenery with a coffee in hand and just see myself where I'm destined to be. Like it's absolutely inevitable. Like I'm there, the company's built. Like we're selling these chips and moving forwards and everything's there and it's just a case of the in between now. And then I fill in the in between. And that's where I am currently, which is okay, co-founder's there, some of the team is there, we're moving forwards with this, with this, with this. Next, what's the next step? So that is quite critical. I would say you need to have like a massive goal, like an astronaut, like it's just I can't fathom the words needed. If it brings great fear into you, you're on the right tracks. And
Yes,
then you
I've
need to
heard
go a little bit more.
Yeah, you want it to be scary. You want it to freak you out. That's the advice I've often heard. So it's almost like, in a way, you're utilizing brainstorming or brain dumping if it's pen to paper, as well as seeing the picture in your mind. That's what you're describing when you're just giving an example of microvisualization. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's definitely a case of organizing the chaos. I called it organized chaos. So when the thoughts are racing, you've got all these ideas, problems, you've got all these solutions at the same time, typically, because all entrepreneurs will have that and all investors as well. The key is, can you organize this? Can you make it into a laser beam focus when you need and not like, I don't know, like a atomic bomb where it just destroys everything and you don't really have much success. You need that pinpoint laser accuracy with what you're doing and how you're executing. But the understanding and ability, along with humility, to know when you're wrong and on the wrong tracks, which is totally okay. Because if you're not wrong, something's going wrong, ironically.
Or you're blind to it. You're not able to see that
Yeah.
you're wrong. So, I'm one of those people, just to be absolutely frank, I have a really hard time seeing pictures in my mind. I have a hard time visualizing. But if I'm sitting down and putting pen to paper, I can draw things out, I can write, and I oftentimes I've read so many articles and books about the importance of writing from your future self to your present self. So I can do that, but sitting there and actually picturing it in my mind, all the steps that you described in a logical sequence is very, very challenging. So I find that really hard to do. So oftentimes the strategy that I use is I will write down what I want, like what I want to visualize. I'll write it down in as much detail as I can and really doing my best to focus on the feelings because I feel like when you have that feeling, you tend to bring forth that which you desire much faster. And what I end up doing is I record it in the voice note of my phone. And I listen to it throughout the day, and also I use it as self-hypnosis. So when I'm sleeping, I have it on and I'm listening to it as I'm falling asleep, as I'm in the alpha state, so that it will go into my subconscious mind. So I wanted you to share some suggestions or solutions for those of us that have a really a tough time and we struggle with visualization without putting pen to paper.
So, like you mentioned, obviously the best is pen to paper, but what I'd say is cut down your time frame for what you deem to be a visualizing time. Like everybody always thinks you have to sit there for like even 5 minutes. That's a hell of a lot of time. Like I urge anybody to run at a high speed on a treadmill for 5 minutes. Like you'll know about it quite quickly, or sprint. So I would literally say start with 5 seconds of understanding who you are, where you're going, and why you do what you do. Like if I say this to people, they're like, how do you meditate for so long? Like 1 hour at a time, 1 hour and 15 minutes of like when you do your chanting meditation. I'm like, it didn't start like that. It actually began with like 3 to 5 seconds of trying it and my mind just going, nope, that'll do. But and then you layer up on that, which is then where the micro visualization came from, right? So sit there. Can you be on your own, sit outside without no phone or pen, paper, without any earphones, without any distractions, even without a cup of coffee, just in sheer silence, and just look ahead for about 15 to 20 seconds? If you can, you're on the right tracks. And then that layers up 30 seconds to a minute. When you kind of get to a minute, then re-challenge yourself. So then you go back to the drawing board and say, this time, what does a future me want? Well, a future me may, I don't know, may want that watch or that car or that partner or that funding round to be a success. Then visualize that for the next 5 seconds when you start again, because you're now used to sitting down in silence for 1 minute.
So, are
What's
you
5 seconds?
sorry to interrupt you. Are you visualizing achieving it, right? Like, let's say if funding is what you're
Yeah.
looking for, you're sitting there and are you basking in it becoming successful? Are you focusing on how it would feel when it comes? Or are you actually seeing the detail step by step of how it all came about?
So it's re I'm reverse engineering it. So I'm seeing the end goal. So let's say the funding round success. And you know that moment where, okay, we've closed X amount and we're like, oh, that's great. And then a step back from there, which would be engaging with investors and term sheets or exchanging hands. And then a step back from there, which is like reigniting the relationships I've built. And then further back, even more to the point where actually I'm starting to see all of the obstacles, all of the problems, all of the pain points, the stressful moments, the hurts, the sleepless nights, the tears. And actually, I'm sitting in that and basking in that because that's the growth phase. The rest is just inevitable. Like, you know, it's going to close. You know, the right investor will approach. You know, the money's going to arrive at some point. But the growth, well, you have to go through the absolute shit show and the pain. But when you become comfortable and understanding of that, that's when it become really and truly great, I find.
So going back to the example you give of sitting in the park, so I've passed the 1 minute mark that you suggested. And let's go with the funding example you provided. Now, what you're suggesting I do is I need to visualize me actually getting the funding. So I achieved it. And then from there, I need to visualize what happened to get me to that. What was the step before that? And then what was the step before that? Yes, for some of us, I think it would take longer, but you're saying do it in little bits, almost like a instead of going forward with a movie, you're kind of going backwards with your movie. Is that correct? Have I understood you
Yeah,
correctly? Okay.
absolutely correct. Like completely correct. You're completely reverse engineering your final product. It's like, I don't know, I always use this example back in the day, like the VHS players or the DVD players.
Yes, those
Like
old Gutenberg.
you've got the fully fledged one, but you're unscrewing it and opening it all up to the individual components and then putting it back together.
Got it.
Like this is what you're doing with the visualization. You're going all the way back. And then you put it, inevitably, you will hit a phase where things become extremely challenging, painful, and hurtful. And it's important to recognize that that phase is inevitable as well.
Okay,
You must go through that to get there.
And you're saying if you're going back I would say some episodes, if we want to, go back to a show, some episodes of how you ended up achieving this success that you desire could take longer for you to visualize. So instead of 5 minutes, it could be like half an hour where you're sitting there and just really, with everything in you, really trying to visualize how did this section of the episode come to be, correct? And that's okay.
Yeah, and that's okay. And it's also okay that if you sit to visualize and no visualization happens, that's fine. Understand that during your moments of your day when you're walking with your earphones or even just listening to the birds tweeting or the wind within the trees and the leaves, that your visualization may occur within 3 seconds of your 30-minute walk. But it's about acknowledging that in that present moment and then compounding that with your walk, which was at 2 p.m. to you're sitting down at the dinner table, and just as you pull in your chair, you have like that moment of a couple of seconds visualization of 2 seconds. So now you've got up to 5 seconds already. Like this can happen at any point in the day. And as massive and monumental as your goal may be, or your vision of your future self or whatever it is, like this will take longer. Like this isn't one of those things where you do 5 minutes a day and after 6 months you're guaranteed to achieve things. Like, no, this could take you 20 years. This could take you a lifetime, 3 lifetimes, and whatever your belief is. Alternatively, this could be a case of you're doing it for 5 to 15 minutes within the week without even knowing you're doing it. And then suddenly you're starting to do really well. Well, you've just completely shifted your mindset, but because you've rewired your brain to focus on the greatest of solutions and understand how great you are, because that's the goal, right? To show how great you are to the world and have everybody attracted to it, and hopefully only the great people come to you.
So I think the key here, based on what you mentioned, is that there's no one size fits all. Some of us are going to be able to do this really quickly. And for some of us, like you said, it could take years. It could take hours. Like it really depends on where you're at and what your limiting beliefs are and how easy you can do this or not. But that importance of there is no formula. There is no, 5 minutes on this and then 10 minutes on this, which I feel like there's a lot of gurus that tend to focus on that, and people get frustrated because they're not able to hit those milestones as it was articulated by whoever the guru is. So can you share some other ways in which this you've seen based on your experience and maybe the advice you've given other people, where else in the business world does this work beautifully? In addition to fundraising, growing and scaling your business, where else do you see this, working out really well as you're building your business?
Yeah, so the key obvious ones are funding, scaling, I guess, partnerships, collaborations with individuals as well. Like, who's the person I wish to collaborate with, I wish to work with in the future, and then kind of really identifying, seeing that individual, the interactions with them. But just general attraction of the right team members, I would say. Like, I'm building out my core team, and so this is like fundamental to what we're doing. And therefore, really understanding the types of individuals I want to be seated with me and working on this project with me in the long-term basis. And then going out there and actually finding them and seeing those traits more than anything in the right individuals. And it's happened more and more. In fact, all of the people involved in the core crux of the deep tech getting up and running are all just people whose personality traits, professional traits, like personal traits as well, all that I saw and was like, these are the kinds of people that I want and need, that are necessary. So yeah, in the business world, I think those are the kind of big ones, and also the addition as well.
That's amazing. And so this kind of makes me think of what athletes do on regular basis as well. Like they're always encouraged to visualize the end goal of achieving that success. So can you discuss with us, and oftentimes I think these terms are used interchangeably and or put in the same bucket. What would you say is the core relationship between your mindset and goal achieving in this whole entrepreneurial journey, and then utilizing micro visualization?
So I think mindset is more who you are. Goal achieving is more target specific. And then when you link this into specifically the entrepreneurial journey or micro visualizations, like your mindset, you need to be malleable. Like you need to be the individual who is willing to hold their hand up and be like, yeah, my ego is too high. I'm wrong. I failed. This isn't good. We need to change the way we do things. Like if that's not your mindset and you're fixed in a certain way, then I feel personally those individuals are limited to their goals. Like whatever your goal may be, it may be five times as more difficult to do that because you're actually putting obstacles in your own way. Like you are literally the problem in that situation. There's a few people that I really like listening to and hearing them speak on various podcasts, one of which is Jocko Willink, when he talks about like extreme ownership and his mindset and just for like you need to take ownership of your problems and more importantly the solutions you provide as well. Like it's often the leader's fault in this, and if it isn't there and then, it's because 20 steps before was where your problem lied and it just manifested and grew more. And then when we talk about goal achievements, it's like have a goal. Yes, absolutely have a goal, but don't be caught up in this mindset where you see the announcement on like Forbes of like entrepreneur started at 21, exited with 5 billion at 26. It's like, yes, that may be the case, but you don't know their background, how they got up and running. Did they have a cash injection from friends and family? Like, what was the journey in between? Like, you don't know if they were struggling to make payroll for 6 months in a row and at the edge of life, quite literally, and then it happened that they were acquired by a large company. Like all you see is the young age or when they start and then the finish. Like you
Yeah,
need to understand that.
the overnight success, that's what you
Yeah, the
think.
overnight success is just such bullshit with that. The honesty of it is if it's not painful, then it's probably not, well, that monumental. In actual fact, a lot of what we see in the overnight success isn't painful for us. So it's not going to be great. So we just feel jealous and whatever the case may be. And that's very much a mindset thing again. Like I always say, build very well in under closed doors. And then when the time comes, make your announcement when things are done and ready.
Yeah,
And that's very much a
absolutely.
mindset thing.
Yeah, I could not agree with this more. I'm a huge believer that business success is huge. The secret to success in anything in life, especially business success, really comes down to mindset and mental fitness. And oftentimes we think it's having the right people or raising the right amount of money or all this other stuff that, media makes us believe, but really that's not, it's not that. So what are some obstacles that you see with people trying to micro-visualize? What do they get wrong about it, and where does it go wrong into unsuccessful territory?
One is wanting things too quickly. Like I think we are literally all guilty of that. Every single human being on the planet wants something and they want it now. And we're even more primed to it with literally Amazon Prime, Netflix, the things that one click away. Like we just have got into this mindset that we should have it now. And in actual fact, things take a long time. Like experience is built on failure and obstacles and our ability to provide solutions to these obstacles. Gaining knowledge is all comes into the bank of experience. And so that's quite a big one, like wanting to have things too quickly. Like why are you rushing to a destination that's unknown? Like what is your destination? You want to build a unicorn? Okay, great. Like there are so many factors involved in that. You want to build something different. You want to, I don't know, buy an island and live on your own, build a house and live on your own there. Like, where's your destination? It's so flexible, but we're all in a rush to get nowhere really quickly. And it's just a case of like, take your time, like enjoy what's happening now and what's around you. And that's quite a key one. A second one is the toxic positivity people,
Oh God, don't get me
where
started.
people are just like, oh yeah, I need to do this and I'm so great and I'm going to manifest it by doing X, Y, and Z and write it down and do a 10,000 steps a day and listen to three, whatever people want to do, do what you do you. But the case is, you need to know when to give up for the day, for number one, because you're going to be tired. You're human, right? You're not the figure one AI. Two, you need to know when you're wrong, which is even more critical. Like when you're wrong, if you hold your hands up and say, even if no one's in the room and you go, oh my God, I was wrong here, I need to pivot. That's probably the bigger thing to do than to say it in a room full of 20 people. Because once you admit it with yourself, you're authentic and you're true to yourself. So it'll naturally happen when you're in the space of 20 people. You'd be like, hey, wait a minute, I was wrong here. This is why we're down this road and why X amount of money has been lost. The minute you put your hand up and say that, people will be like, oh, okay. Like, do you want to explain? You'll explain. And then it will probably be okay, depending on the situation and the individuals involved. But if you're trying to hide that feeling of it, because, oh no, I need to be positive and the never say never attitude and relentless, like, it'll just be a car crash. And then you'll be forced. Your back will be against the wall. And you'll be forced to admit when you were wrong.
So Ricky, what is the one thing that you can share with the listeners to take away from this incredible discussion we just had that they can implement? Something easy, straightforward, that's not going to be painful because most people don't want things that are painful. They want instant, like you were saying. Something that they can implement right away as soon as they listen to this podcast and then start seeing some results or some change within their life and the way in which they move forward.
So I've got a couple of things which I developed over time, one of which I call my 3 second rule. And it's so specific. And it literally means if I have a thought of something that I need to do, not want to, need to do.
And how do you, first of all, how do you distinguish between need and want?
So need is, it's like imperative. It'll move the pin forwards, or like I need to eat, right? At
Yes.
some point. If I
Yes.
haven't had breakfast, I need to eat. If I've just finished a buffet and want dessert, like I want dessert, that's a different situation. I don't need it. Although some people would argue that situation.
Absolutely. I was gonna say, not sure if some people would agree with you. But good
So for
example.
me, on a day, and I mean in a day-to-day, on a day-to-day basis. So for example, you just had a cup of tea, coffee, a glass of water, wherever you are in your house or in your office space, and the empty cup is there. Right, you see the, just pick it up and put it in the sink or put it in your dishwasher. So from the minute you see it and you know it shouldn't be here, you have 3 seconds, pick it up and take action. The whole point is take action within that time frame. The same goes for if something looks out of place. Like I always find the doormat always ends up moving out of the way. And so what I do is I pick it up and I put it down so it's crisp and clean. Like little things like that. Like if there's something on the floor, like I walked down the road and there was like a plastic bottle, but there was a bin probably 100 yards up from me, probably even less than that. Just pick up the bottle and I'll put it away. It's so easy in a day-to-day life to do walk past these things and look over them. Be like, oh, I'll get the cups at the end of the day when I finish my day or finish my meeting. But if you do it in the there and then, if you're not occupied, obviously, and completely busy, what this does, it layers on your mind, and it's the get shit done mindset over time. So it means whenever your time comes to sit at your computer, at your desk, whatever, you're just getting stuff done rather than dawdling and faffing around. And that takes time to build up. The next one is literally, I do this, and sometimes I fail to do this, more importantly, which is as soon as I get into the house, if I've gone out to see friends, if I've been at meetings, whatever the case may be, the minute I walk in, I take my shoes off and I put them away. And now some people may already do that. If you already do that, then it could just be the next thing, which is instead of dropping your bag down or your coat down or throwing it or taking your watch off, take something off instantly and put it down somewhere where you know it should sit or it lives or it rests or whatever the case may be. And that just again reinforces that habit of getting in and getting something done. Because there's nothing worse than your tired, long day. You want to walk around like I'm really thirsty. I remember leaving my water bottle at home came back from a day trip from London, didn't even buy any for some strange reason, and then just walked straight into the kitchen with my shoes on. The world is not going to end. But I acknowledged that, wait a minute, that discipline lacked. Like, why did I? Oh, I was thirsty. Okay. The next time that happened, what did I do? I walked in, I took my shoes off, put them away, then walked into the kitchen. And so it's about acknowledging the when you have these lapses and/or when you do these things which are out of, I guess, the norm on a day-to-day basis. But it's about building that discipline, that mindset, and that rigor as well. And you're inevitably going to fail. Like I mentioned, I failed on mine. My 3-second rule, do I do it all the time? Hell no. Sometimes it's the 3-hour rule where the cup's still there for 3 hours. But I acknowledge it and I know that, hey, you failed on this and it's totally cool, dude. Like it's fine. These things happen. But the next time, I'll pick it up and I'll do it. And it's about that next time being better for the next time.
Can you think of an example in like business that you would apply or you have applied the 3-second rule or even the put away your shoe example? How would you apply that to business?
So for my one in business is I'm like really notoriously bad at admin, replying to emails, follow-ups, and everything along these lines. And there's certain instances where it's so important to do. Like it's super, it's like it should have been number one on the list before even doing anything else. That is one instance where I've gone, okay, I need to do this. Like it's completely necessary to do, and I've got to reply. Another instance was email comes in, and you can just go, it's an email, it's totally cool. But and then I'll extrapolate down the line and I'll go, me replying now, will that move the pin forwards? Or can I reply in 6 hours towards the end of the day when I'm scheduling myself to respond to emails and messages? And I'll go, actually, no, I need to respond now because then, like, I'm the rate limiting step right now. The minute I send off the email, they can continue to execute and the pin can move forwards. So those are kind of the key ones. And then another one is anytime I have meetings regarding the deep tech, it's just get straight to it. Like I don't like the faff of just long-winded discussions about things. Like what are we talking about? What's the agenda for today? What are we talking about? What's necessary? How are we going to execute this? And then how are we moving forwards? And then a quick summary. Like we can wrap up in like 15, 20 minutes in a meeting. Anything longer than that is probably because heavy science is involved or R&D, or there's an element is completely unknown. So yeah, it's about efficiency and maximizing that and maintaining discipline in that as well.
Absolutely. And these are some really great examples that you shared, and I love that. And these are things that I feel like we often take for granted. And when you think to yourself, well, nothing's going to happen. I just forgot at this time. I didn't follow the 3-second rule for this time. It'll be better tomorrow. But I feel like you don't do it once. You've already set the example. You've already taught your brain, that you're not a trustworthy person, that your words or your decisions are not ones that you're going to actually keep up with or follow through. One thing I learned a while back that I apply is you need to treat your brain like a 5-year-old child. So if you make promises, you must stick with them because then your brain will learn the habit of the fact that, hey, you're not someone that's going to follow through with promise. So why trust what you're saying? And I feel like the same, in a way, applies to the 3-second rule. That if I make this rule that I'm going to, so for me, when I come home from outside, I have what's called inside clothes and outside clothes. I have to change into my home clothes. And if I don't do it, the first time I don't do it, it's fine, but the second time I feel like then I don't do it. I make all these excuses not to do it, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And then the tea example, the teacup example you provided, also I find really important. When you see it, it's got to be put away right away, or else you won't do it. I love that. Thank you for sharing. We're almost at the end of our podcast. It's been absolutely incredible, as always, speaking with you, Ricky. I always leave feeling like I've just taken an MIT course, and I didn't pay for it. It was free, woohoo, but it was really good. And I just want to know if there's anything else that maybe we didn't discuss that you want to leave the listeners with, something, anything. And if not, that's totally cool too.
No, nothing else that came to mind. It's just always strive to be that little bit better, which is what we hear, but be always willing also to admit defeat. Like, it's okay to fail at things as long as you grow and you learn. It's okay to give up on the day, not give up completely. Like, know, in fact, know when to give up on the day. In this world of like poor work-life balance and that we need to work more, like, you need to know when to give up on the day and to relax and allow the brain to just work its magic. And a friend of mine said this. He goes, too many ingredients in the stew makes the stew taste weird. He goes, you just sometimes need to, the right amount of ingredients in the stew, and you just got to let the universe cook. And it's so damn true. Like, if I keep hammering across more and more work, it just gets confusing for me and maybe others involved. But if I just do the right amount and it's in someone else's hands, hey, it's in someone else's hands. That's all good. So let me take my walk, let me have my chill time. Let me relax. I think we need to separate more from this non-stop, relentless working mindset and really strategize, evaluate, plan correctly, and then have an execution phase where we just get shit done.
Absolutely. And even it's so amazing that you're mentioning this. I'm going to mention a book that I just recently picked up and I'm reading right now. Well, really, I'm listening to it. It's an audiobook as I walk about, or if I'm washing dishes, cleaning, I love listening to audiobooks. But before even mentioning the book, I wanted to stress the fact that we live in a society that glorifies and rewards hustle and working nonstop without taking care of your well-being. And I truly believe that's actually one of the reasons why we have so many depressed, sick people that are full of anxiety, we're not sleeping. It's just we're not really taking care of ourselves, our well-being. So the book I recently picked up, and I highly suggest if you've never read this book to pick this up because it really aligns beautifully with what you shared, is called The Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down. And the whole premise behind this book is you actually get more done when you slow down than when you're going a million mile a minute. It's written by a famous Buddhist in the I think it's in Korea. I think he's Korean, and the book's been translated in all Asian languages, and I was able to find the English version of it and listening to it. So I highly suggest I'll include the show in the show notes as well for anyone that's interested, but really great. Thank you, Ricky. All of your LinkedIn profile will be included in the show notes for anyone that wants to reach out, connect with you on LinkedIn. I really respect and honor you, and I'm so glad and fortunate and grateful to know you and have these conversations with you. So thank you so much, Ricky, and really thank you for being here today.
Absolute pleasure, Shadi. It's always great speaking with you, and thanks for really engaging and enjoyable hour or so.
Yes,
Greatly appreciate it.
thanks, Ricky. I'm on a mission to cut through the fluff and theories about growing and scaling your B2B small to medium-sized business. And I don't just talk the talk. I've walked this entrepreneurial journey many times myself. I bring you tangible, accessible guide that you can implement right away to see results. If you are an entrepreneur ready to scale or grow your small to medium-sized business, reach out and let's chat. I encourage you to take a moment and reflect on the insights that were shared today in this episode of the podcast. If you found this content valuable, don't hesitate to share it with someone in your network. Or leave me a review on your favorite podcast platform. Or better yet, reshare it on LinkedIn or any other social media that you use. Remember, small actions can lead to significant changes. Until next time, stay grounded, have faith, and keep going.